Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Can you hear me all right? You're good. Welcome to this communion service. Welcome to you who are here. Welcome to those who are, where are you? Not sure where you are, who are watching from home or will be watching during the week. We meet in the name of God, and wherever we are, whenever we're joining the service, we're joining the angels of God in his worship. Sorry there's no choir today, and Helen and Simon are away, but thank you very much to Hazel for giving us some music to set the scene. Our service is from the Red Service Book, so shall we stand to begin? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. The Lord be with you. We say on page 2, the Prayer of Preparation. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. So please sit or kneel, and in a moment's silence, let's recall our failings to live up to the law of God's love. And so we should say together the first prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Shall we stand to say the Gloria? Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And the collect for this 15th Sunday after Trinity. Lord God, defend your church from all false teaching and give to your people knowledge of your truth, that we may enjoy eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please sit for the reading.
The reading is from the book of Genesis, chapter 40. The cupbearer and the baker. Sometime later, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their master, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was angry with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream, I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand." "This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off by the land of the Hebrews. And even here, I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon." When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, "I too had a dream. On my head were 3 baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head." "This is what it means," Joseph said. "The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away at your flesh." Now the 3rd day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position so that he was once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you stand, please, for the gospel reading? Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew from chapter 6. Glory to you, O Lord. "Therefore I tell you," said Jesus, "do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For indeed your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And may I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So our reading from Genesis this morning was about dreams. Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" Joseph was a dreamer, wasn't he? The musical reminds us of this by making the Bible's coat of many colours, Joseph's amazing technicolour dream coat. It was his dreams that made Joseph so hated by his brothers, the dream that showed that he would be much greater than them. There are a lot of dreams in the Bible. The ones that come to mind first are probably Jacob's dream, earlier in Genesis, of the ladder reaching up to heaven, the dream which promised that despite his family troubles, God would be with Jacob and that he could return to the land of Canaan. And then the Nebuchadnezzar's dreams and the vision of the writing on the wall and a strange visionary dream of Daniel. And then, of course, there are the dreams which St. Matthew tells us about of another Joseph being told by an angel in a dream that he was to take Mary as his wife and then later to take them to safety to Egypt and then to return. And the wise men, too, were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. I can't pretend that I've counted them myself, but I'm reliably informed by the internet that there are 21 dreams in the Bible, and 6 of them are connected with our Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph himself has 2 dreams, the one we heard 2 weeks ago about the brothers' sheaves of corn bowing down to his, and then the moon and the stars bowing down to Joseph himself. If I'd had those dreams as a boy, I certainly wouldn't have dared tell them to my elder brother because he would have punched me in the face. No wonder the brothers couldn't stand the young Joseph. But the other dreams connected with Joseph are the dreams of other people, and they're dreams that Joseph was able to interpret. "Do not interpretations belong to God?" he said to the cupbearer and the baker, his fellow prisoners in the jail. We're not told exactly how much time has passed, but Joseph must have had plenty of time to mull over his youthful dreams and what they meant. At first, of course, things had not gone well when his brothers sold him into slavery and he was carried off into that foreign country. But in Egypt, he'd landed on his feet, and as we heard last week, he soon gained the full trust of his master, who put him in charge of everything. So that although he was still a slave, he had a very good position, and he was doing quite well. Until, of course, the master's wife found this well-built and handsome young man rather attractive, and it all went pear-shaped. Last week, we heard that Joseph was thrown unceremoniously into prison. But even there, he landed on his feet again, and soon he had the full trust of the prison warder who put him in charge of all the other prisoners. And we're told that just like his owner Potiphar had done, the warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So Joseph could see now that his dreams of success had some substance to them, although still he was unjustly confined to prison. In Potiphar's house then, and now in prison, Joseph had a lot of opportunity to mull over those youthful dreams and to see that dreams need to be interpreted. He began to see that even if the dreams were from God, some working through needed to be done. And now he's got these 2 jailbirds, apparently both in custody as suspects of the same crime of conspiring against Pharaoh. They bring their dreams to Joseph. Where do dreams come from? Do they come from God, or are they the product of our unconscious? Or indeed, are they both, or can they be both? Does God prod our unconscious minds when we're asleep to offer solutions to the problems which often baffle us? I think those are interesting questions in relation to the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. Let's have a brief look at those dreams again. In his dream, the cupbearer saw a vine with three branches, and he squeezed the clusters of grapes into the Pharaoh's cup for him to drink. On the other hand, the baker dreamed about three baskets of bread and other lovely baked goods for Pharaoh, but Pharaoh didn't get to eat them as the birds swooped down and ate them instead. Two rather contrasting dreams, similar but contrasting. Now, these two men, we're told, had been in custody for some time, and so clearly Joseph had had the opportunity to observe them. And if we assume that one was innocent and the other guilty, Joseph may well have had an idea where the truth lay. And what clinched it was the way these men's consciences surfaced in their dreams. Their consciences surfaced in their dreams. The cupbearer had a clear conscience. He dreamed about serving the Pharaoh. The baker's subconscious couldn't even produce a pretense of feeding him, and he blamed the problem on the birds which ate the bread. Joseph was clearly a psychologist, an amateur psychologist, yes, but a very wise man. He could read people. He'd had conversations with these men. He knew what sort of man each of them was. He may well have heard that there was a feast coming up, and so to the cupbearer he says, "Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and give you your job back, restore you to your position." But to the baker he says, "Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang your body on a tree." I think the translation we heard said, "impale your head." Charming. So you could say that the dreams were from God and that the interpretation belonged to God too. The dreams were from God because the cupbearer had a clear conscience, the baker had a guilty conscience, and these surfaced in their dreams. And there's other dreams in the Bible. We mentioned Jacob being assured of God's love and protection and then being guided when it was time to leave his father-in-law Laban and go home. Then Laban himself had a dream that he should let Jacob go. Later on in the Bible, King Solomon was given a dream, and in that dream he was given the choice of anything he wanted. He wisely chose wisdom. Nebuchadnezzar's dreams showed him that his huge empire was about to be crushed. And then in the New Testament, Jesus' birth and infancy were protected by guidance from God that came in people's dreams. First to Joseph, the angel, and then later Joseph's other dreams. And even later on, Pilate's wife urged her husband after her dream to have nothing to do with the plot to kill Jesus, although this one was to no avail. But all of these dreams were surely from God. So let's pay attention to our dreams. Strange though they may seem to be sometimes, and I'm sure you wouldn't want to know about my dreams, they clearly come from the workings of the unconscious mind. Whether we have a good conscience or a bad conscience, we can't hide ourselves from our dreams. We can't hide ourselves from God. And it may well be that God is trying to tell us something through those dreams. You often read that it's a good idea to make a record of your dreams, particularly the ones that come back again and again, and see if there are themes which perhaps you should be thinking about. So let's do that. Let's see if there is any symbolism in our dreams and think what that symbolism might mean. Let's think what our unconscious minds are telling us. And let's pray about that and ask God if there's something there that he's trying to say to us. It's a pity that, as we heard at the end, the cupbearer forgot Joseph's plea to return the favour he'd done him by putting in a good word with Pharaoh. So poor Joseph is still confined to prison. Still, next week, Pharaoh's dreams. Shall we stand to affirm our faith? Shall we stand to affirm our faith in the words of the Creed on page 7? We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now let us pray for the church and for the world, and let us thank God for his goodness. We thank God for the freedom we have to worship publicly, for being allowed now to return to worship in church. We thank God for the fellowship which we and other Christians receive from worshiping together. We pray for our own church, for Helen, for all who assist her in her ministry. We pray for our bishop, for our diocese, for the Church of England. And especially we pray for our churches as they find new ways of disseminating our worship, our services. We pray for those who join in our services online. We pray that they may receive the blessing that we receive here in the building. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We hold to God the suffering of the world, our concern about the increasing infections, rate of infection in this country. We pray for those who are subjected to new local lockdowns. We pray that these will be effective to curb the rate of infection. Pray that we may be spared further restrictions. But we pray for the good sense of the people, that the restrictions will be obeyed, all precautions and distancing will be observed. We pray for an early eradication of the virus the world over. And we pray for those who are working so hard to produce an effective vaccine. When it comes, we pray that that vaccine will be taken up by sufficient numbers to make it effective. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our nation, for Queen and country. We pray for the government, for those in opposition, for all who serve the nation in Parliament and in local authorities. Pray for community workers, social workers, and of course we continue to pray for the frontline workers in the National Health Service and emergency services. We're horrified to hear how many ambulance staff and others are under attack when they're going about their work. We pray for calm and peace and respect. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And a moment of quiet for our own personal prayers. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are some notices. First, I published the banns of marriage between Roger Charles Chapman of the parish of St. Peter Recklesham and Elizabeth Regina Le Grossec of the parish of St. John the Baptist Old Malden. This is for the second time of asking. If any of you know any reason in law why these persons should not be joined in holy matrimony, you are to declare it. As we sit, let us pray for Roger and Elizabeth. We pray that the love which they share may be based in God's love. Amen. One or two other notices. Next Sunday, we need some welcomers. Those of you who are good at the internet will know that there's a button you can click to volunteer. I think we need, is it two or is it four? Two wardens, I think, for, when I say wardens, I mean two welcomers for next Sunday's 9 o'clock service. Also the 10:30 service, I think, is short. The week after is fine, but next week we need some welcomers. So if you can do that, either click online or let one of the wardens know. Next Sunday is our harvest celebration, and also we'll be celebrating St. Matthew's Day, which actually is, tomorrow. But next Sunday will be that celebration. Helen says it'll be a low-key harvest celebration in these strange times, so please don't bring any goods in time. Don't bring your marrows and bits and pieces. There will be an opportunity to give to a particular harvest cause instead. There's our annual church meeting, annual parochial church meetings on the 25th of October. There are some forms there for to sign up for the electoral roll. If you're not on the electoral roll or you're not sure, have a word with one of the wardens or have a look at the form, and I think the information is on there. Make sure that you are registered as a member of the church so you can vote in the annual meeting. One of the most important things of which will be to confirm the appointment of Jackie as our new church warden. I think she's acting church warden at the moment, very efficiently and effectively, but she needs to be endorsed. So yes, those are the electoral roll forms now. There are some notice sheets as well on the table as you leave. When we come to communion, please, of course, we only receive the bread. I receive the wine on your behalf, but you just receive the bread. You'll be invited to come from the back forwards. So please, when you're invited, please come up and then receive here and then go back through the side rooms and return to whence you came. I think those are all the notices. Shall we stand for the peace? We are the body of Christ. In one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. And the peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us offer one another a sign of peace. Peace. And then please be seated while I prepare the altar for communion. Jackie, I ought to have some hand sanitizer at the altar. Could you please bring a bottle, please? Would you please stand? The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. I'm using prayer A on page 18. It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. To you be glory and praise forever. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. To you be glory and praise forever. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. To you be glory and praise forever. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. To you be glory and praise forever. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. To you be glory and praise forever. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Saviour of the world. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. To you be glory and praise forever. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. Shall we sit or kneel to pray? Turning to page 12, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We say together on page 15, we do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. Body of Christ, keep you in eternal life. 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 Keep you in eternal life. Let us pray. Keep, O Lord, your church with your perpetual mercy, and because without you our human frailty cannot but fall, keep us ever by your help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Shall we say together the prayer of thanks at the bottom of page 16? Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We'd like to stand for the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you and those you love, now and always. Amen. Let us go in the peace of Christ. Thanks be to God.